This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Thank you for having me here, and thank you for that service, Doug. It really means a lot. I have met Ken Wing in the Zendo at Santa Cruz. I've seen him other places once in a while. This is way back when I lived there, and when I first lived there. And somehow I was talking about, and this was true, I didn't have any money. I was on welfare. And I had a two-year-old. And I said, well, because some people would come in and they'd get into Zen. They could go to sessions and do all that for quite a while. And then they would go back and they had a skill and they could make money. So I can see him standing right at the door. There wasn't a door. It was just a little opening where a door would be between the kitchen and our dining room. And I was standing in the kitchen. And so he said, well, what do you like to do? And I could only say, I like to write poetry. I just remember that. I think he would have helped me out if I said anything else, but I was okay though. I'm glad. I still remember that moment. I can totally see it. I don't know if that happens when there's a shock of someone departing, even if you haven't seen them for decades. But that's what I felt. So what I turned myself to this morning was just going through books of poetry that could say what I felt or find things that could comfort us. And I find so much comfort just being here and listening to you read poems. And I'm very glad of that. I'm glad for that. So what shall I do? I'll put down the space bar when someone raises their hand or bows or something, and then you could speak. And then if I have something to say, I'll hit the space bar. So that's good. Shall we start?
I have one, Paula. This is Judy. This poem is by Angie Boisevain. It's called June 1st. The mind of wild flowers fills a place in me that's peaceful and sustains it, as today wild roses in a tangle by the creek, knowing it's June, remind me of the season by opening their squeezed buds to small pink petals. Oh yes, I see, it's almost summer. Birds are opening up like that too. They are so colorful, I catch sight of them in spite of myself. Orioles, yellow flash in the highest oak, hiding but knowing I'm here. Bluebird on the phone line, woodpecker wrapping his branch, and flicker who calls out, cheer, from a fence post, then hops down, approaching me, cocking an intelligent eye to pick out ant eggs from the dirt. St. Francis gave his whole life to the mind of quiet. Even his body was a safe place to walk upon, the birds flying up to him. I imagine their cool claws on my own arms and shoulders, and the soft, small, living weight of them. Imagine barely breathing in a moment when love finally overcomes the passionate instinct to flee on both sides, when on both sides everything is filled with peace.
Hogan?
There he is. There's Nico. She
Hi, Hogan. I think you and I may be working at cross purposes.
Okay.
Let me do something and see if it works.
I trust you, Nico.
Allow participants to unmute themselves is now being turned on.
Okay.
Now let's see if we're happy. Yeah, we're happy. Okay.
Yeah, we were.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was sending a notice saying the host has disabled participants causing to unmute themselves. Thanks very much. So this is a poem by Jackson Brown. It's a song, actually. It's about a friend of his that died. I think, Paula, you mentioned something about you remembering someone that died. I didn't quite hear it, but can you hit the space bar? I think you should be able to unmute yourself now.
Okay, sure. Ken Wing, I met way long time ago, and he's Hollis's husband.
Uh-huh, okay.
Hollis is on the board of Jikoji.
Oh, okay.
Still around. They lived at Jikoji when we came there.
Yeah. So yeah, I was thinking of this poem. So he wrote it for a friend of his that died. Keep a fire burning in your eye. Pay attention to the open sky. You never know what will be coming down. I don't remember losing track of you. You were always dancing in and out of view. I must have thought you'd always be around, always keeping things real by playing the clown. Now you're nowhere to be found. I don't know what happens when people die. Can't seem to grasp it as hard as I try. It's like a song I can hear playing right in my ear, but I can't sing. I can't help listening. And I can't help feeling stupid standing around, crying as they ease you down, because I know that you'd rather we were dancing, dancing our sorrow away, right on dancing. No matter what fate chooses to play, just do the steps that you've been shown by everyone you've ever known, until the dance becomes your very own. No matter how close to yours, another steps have grown. In the end, there's one dance you'll do alone. Keep a fire for the human race. Let your prayers go drifting into space. You never know what will be coming down. Perhaps a better world is drawing near. Just as easily you could all disappear, along with whatever meaning you might have found. Don't let the uncertainty turn you around. The world keeps turning around and round. Go on and make a joyful sound. Into a dancer you have grown from a seed somebody else has thrown. Go on ahead and throw some seeds of your own. And somewhere between the time you arrive and the time you go may lie a reason you are alive that you'll never know.
Thank you. Hi, Jackie.
Unmute. Okay. Dance takes me to a part of the Four Quartets by T.S. Eliot. And so I'd like to read a part from the second quartet, no, the first quartet, Burnt Norton. At the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor towards, at the still point, there the dance is. But neither arrest nor movement, and do not call it fixity, where past and future are gathered. Neither movement from nor towards, neither ascent nor decline. Except for the point, the still point, there would be no dance, and there is only the dance. I can only say there, there, but I cannot say here. And I cannot say how long, for that is to place it in time. The inner freedom from the practical desire, the release from action and suffering, release from the inner and the outer compulsion, yet surrounded by a sense of grace, a white light, still and moving. Erebon, without motion, concentration without elimination, both a new world and the old made explicit, understood in the completion of its partial ecstasy, the resolution of its partial horror. Yet the enchainment of past and future woven in the weakness of the changing body protects mankind from heaven and damnation, which flesh cannot endure. Time past and time future allow but a little consciousness. There. Heavy stuff.
Right there.
Very zen.
Would you come up here to the
so she can hear
to the front, then everybody can hear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a space right there. Okay.
The poem's name is called Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. Maybe many of you have already known this famous poem.
Can you hear?
Mm-hmm. You do not have to be good. You do not have to be walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let a soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about this bear, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things.
The poem is so good. So welcome. Thank you.
I'll read one from the Conference of the Birds. This is Doug. The Stone Man. A man in China has become a stone. He sits and mourns, and at each muffled groan, weeps melancholy tears, which then are found congealed as pebbles scattered on the ground. What misery the world would know, what pain, if clouds should shed such adamantine rain. This man in knowledge, sensible, devout, if you should go to China, seek him out. But he has turned to stone from secret grief, from lack of zeal, indifference, unbelief. The world is dark and knowledge is a light. a sparkling jewel to lead you through the night. Without it, you should wander mystified, like Alexander, lost without a guide. But if you trust its light too much, despair will be the sequel of pedantic care. And if you underestimate this jewel, despair will mark you as a righteous fool. Ignore or overvalue the bright stone, and wretchedness will claim you for her own. If you can step aside the stage we know, the dark confusions of our life below, and reach man's proper state, you will possess wisdom at which the world can never guess. The path beings sorrow and bewildered feet, but venture on until the way is clear, and neither sleep by night nor drink by day, but give life completely to the way.
Thank you. You read from that before, I think, because it's familiar. Also, I had it out of the library for about 6 weeks, and I finally had to give it back. It's a great book. Thank you. Sandy?
This is a poem by Carolyn Forché. And I was fortunate to hear her read it in a Zoom interview that she was doing a few weeks ago. And the preface to the poem she was talking about, she wrote it at a time in her life when she had cancer and she wasn't quite sure of the outcome. So that's sort of the backdrop to that. And it's called What Comes. To speak is not yet to have spoken, the not yet of a white realm of nothing left, neither for itself nor another. A no longer already there, along with the arrival of what has been, light and the reverse of light. Tear as walking blind along the breaking sea, body in whom I lived, the not yet of death, darkening what it briefly illuminates, an unknown place as between languages, back and forth, breath to breath, as a calm in the surround arises, fireflies and lindens, an ache of pine, you have yourself within you, yourself. You have her, and there is nothing that cannot be seen. Open then to the coming of what comes. That's it.
I'm glad you heard that recently. I've heard her a while ago and read her poetry for a long time, but I haven't, I don't have a book of hers.
This just came out recently, and the name of this
okay.
And
In the Lateness of the World. Yeah.
In the Lateness of the World, yes. Yeah, it was, read it, it's sometimes it sends chills on my back, so that, especially with that poem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Next time, let's think about all of us that introducing each other,
introducing ourselves to each other. It would be nice. But that'll be next time or at the end. So, okay. Nico, I think I see you raising your hand. I see you not raising your hand. Do you want to read? Okay.
Hi. I've been vacillating on whether or not to read this, but I decided to. Kavi read something by Jackson Brown. I happen to have a fairly contemporaneous poem by a colleague of his named Joni Mitchell, which I'd like to read. This is called Don't Interrupt the Sorrow. It's from 1974. And it goes like this. Don't interrupt the sorrow, darn right. In flames, our prophet witches, be polite. A room full of glasses, he says, your notches, liberation doll. And he chains me with that serpent to that Ethiopian wall. Anima rising, queen of queens, wash my guilt of Eden, wash and balance me. Anima rising, uprising in me tonight, she's a vengeful little goddess with an ancient crown to fight. Truth goes up in vapors, the steeples lean, winds of change, patriarchs snug in your Bible-built dreams. God goes up the chimney like childhood Santa Claus. The good slaves love the good book. A rebel loves a cause. I'm leaving on the 115. You're darn right. Since I was 17, I've had no one over me. He says, anima rising, so what? Petrified wood process, tall timber down to rock. Don't interrupt the sorrow. Darn right. He says, we walked on the moon, you be polite. Don't let up the sorrow of death and birth and death and birth and death and birth. He says, bring that bottle kindly and I'll pad your purse. I've got a head full of quandary and a mighty, mighty, mighty thirst. 17 glasses, Rhine wine, milk of the Madonna, clandestine. He don't let up the sorrow. He lies and he cheats. It takes a heart like Mary's these days when your man gets weak. That's it.
So, Kave, Nico. Thank you. Hey, Peter.
Well, I can follow the non-poems of Kavi and Nico. This is actually written by a poet to the poet in all of us. It's Walt Whitman's Instructions to a Poet from the Prelude to Leaves of Grass. This is what you shall do. Love the earth and the sun and the animals. Despise riches. Give alms to everyone that asks. Stand up for the stupid and the crazy. Devote your income and labor to others. Hate tyrants. Argue not concerning God. Have patience and indulgence toward the people. Take off your hat to nothing known or unknown, or to any man or number of men. Go freely with powerful, uneducated persons, and with the young, and with the mothers of families. Read the leaves in the open air every season of every year of your life. Re-examine all you have been told at school or church or in any book. dismiss whatever insults your soul, your own soul, and your very flesh shall be a great poem and have the richest fluency, not only in its words, but in the silent lines of its lips and face, and between the lashes of your eyes, and in every motion and joint of your body. The poet shall not spend time in unneeded work. He shall know that the ground is always ready plowed and manured. Others may not know, but he shall. He shall go directly to the creation. His trust shall master the trust of everything he touches, and shall master all attachment. Walt Whitman, 1855.
It's so good to hear you read that. And it's inspiring, isn't it, for a poet or anyone who's creative, that it's already ready for you. You know, the world's already ready for you. Life is already ready for you to say what you have to say. Don't worry about it. You don't have to dig the hole. Or however you want to look at it. That was good. This happens to me a lot when we exchange poems. It's like, I just read that this morning. And I did. I'm glad you read it. Wow.
You're welcome.
So we have Xu Long. I don't have my glasses on. Would you like to read?
Sure. Hi, my name is Xu Long. The poem I'm gonna read is by Emily Dickinson. The first time I read it, and I was like, that is fun. The name is called I'm Nobody, Who Are You? I'm Nobody, Who Are You? Are you nobody too? Then there is a pair of us. Don't tell that advertise, you know? How dreary to be somebody. How public like a frog. To tell one's name, the livelong June, to an admiring bog.
You know what? I never in my head I could never imagine the freshness of the way you read that, and playfulness too. And did I see you at Santa Barbara when I talked there recently?
No.
At the Santa,
I've never okay, been, yes. Yeah. Nice yeah. to meet you.
I've seen you before, though. Okay.
I joined Koji before, maybe.
Ah, yeah. Good. Okay. So, hello, Emily.
Hello, Paula. Do you have more poems that are going to be recited, or? Can I recite a poem?
I would like you to read whatever you want.
Well, it's not my poem, and I only just came across it from one of the first enlightened nuns. And it's a translation of this enlightened nun. And it goes like this. One day, after begging for my food, while looking down at one more meal, a meal I hadn't worked for, hadn't paid for, hadn't earned, I blinked and a tear fell into my bowl. A life of debt I could never repay, pushed in on me from all sides, like the weight of the sea. Would it always feel like this? Just like the moon rising up from the sea, a handful of rice lifted up from the bottom of my bowl. I wish I could tell you how it felt, how it tasted, the first taste of food as a free woman.
I love the way you read it. I'm glad you're doing, you know, we're doing this with our poems. That's great. Hi, Daryl. Just saying hello. Glad you're there. You're inspiring.
Thank you, Paula. Hello, everyone.
How much time do we have? I just had a you know, the way I kind of like really messed up the Stanley Kunitz poem last time, but there are other ones and I will be reading some of them during the workshop, but I have my thing on a, this is just a paragraph of his. The poet is an anomaly in our culture. The goal of our culture is money and power, and that's not exactly what poetry is about. What is it about? That's a hard question. It's about anything the human mind and unconscious can produce, and that's infinite. Some people may think being a poet is like being, say, a bluebird. It's hardly that, but then why not? I wouldn't mind being a bluebird for one day. It certainly would be fun to be perched in my garden at the top of the spruce here, singing like mad and pursuing another bluebird. That's prose. That's his prose. His poetry is great too.
Jeffrey, we have one in the Zendo here.
Yeah.
Hey folks, I'm Jeff.
Oh, good. Everyone? People are coming up to the mic.
Folks. Let's see, I'd like to read some lines that will be familiar to any Shakespeare fans. Nice. And may also be familiar to any fans of Ian Watts, who recites these very lines in at least one of his lectures. Mm-hmm. This is from The Tempest. Our revels now are ended. These are actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits and are melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherit, shall dissolve. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. Thank you.
Would you tell me your name before you go? Who was that masked man? What's your name?
I'm Jeffrey. Is that coming through?
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello there.
Thank you. So do we end in like 3 minutes or something? Is that when we end? I was just thinking, I think there's probably some good chats people want to read, but I don't know. To read them.
Nico has somebody.
Okay, Nico.
I have a very short one. A couple of things that you read, Paula, that other people have read brought it to mind. Something Emily read brought it to mind. This is a very short poem by, it's not a poem, it's a lyric. It's another song lyric by a woman named Kathleen Hanna, who was the principal writer for a band called Bikini Kill. And this is about being a poet. It's called Bloody Ice Cream. I'm not sure why. It's called Bloody Ice Cream. It goes, the Sylvia Plath story is told to girls who write. They want us to think that to be a girl poet means you have to die. Who is it that told me all girls who write must suicide, must suicide, must suicide, must suicide? I have another good one for you. We are turning cursive letters into knives.
Did you just read that lately? I just read that a few days ago.
No.
Was it on Poem a Day? You just know this poet.
I didn't know. It's one of my favorite bands, and I listen to them all the time, and they've gotten me through a lot of difficult times.
Okay. Maybe I'm just like, maybe it just sounds so close.
I don't know.
I mean, I think it's true. I think it's certainly not like that as it was, but when I was looking for poems to read in my oldest book of gathered poems, and they were poems for students, I saw maybe one woman, and it was a compilation of poems. It was from probably 30 years ago or more. Thank you.
Paula, if there's time, if there's time, I'd like to read something I wrote for someone who's dear to me, who's in the Zendo.
Wait? Well, you want to read it now, or are you reading it?
I'll do whatever you.
There's somebody sitting right there that you might know.
Judy.
Is that the one?
It wasn't for Judy, but yeah, she's dear to
me. Okay, Judy's going to read that. Unless it's for Judy, she gets to read. Okay, then you.
This is a poem called Enough by David White. Enough. These words, these few words are enough. If not these words, this breath. If not this breath, this sitting here. This opening to the life we have refused again and again until now. Until now.
Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
Kaveh, did you want to read?
This also based on a teaching by Suzuki Roshi, called White Bear Down Snow. So there's someone that perceived us like that in the Zendo, that the two came together. The white bear down the snow is fully itself, though invisible, not interested in any performed dance, contained fully within its surround. Freedom is just the jail, its space between the bars. No limit, no freedom. No self and no not self, no idea and no gain. The wise, kind heart said, be true to yourself by forgetting yourself. Then the self can emerge on the white snow once again.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jikoji.org.